A bullet from the back of a bush took Medgar Evers' blood. A finger fired the trigger to his name. A handle hit out in the dark. A hand set the spark. Two eyes took the aim behind a man's brain. But he can't be blamed. He's only a pawn in their game.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This is Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. It's Black History Month, and if anybody would know about being a pawn in their game, it would be that guy, wouldn't it? What did he say in that interview? You know, he's working for the man, basically, or something. Some kind of Faustian character. So, Mephistopheles or Saint Germain or something like that. So that's, you know, that's kind of an indication of the pecking order and the hierarchy. And a lot of folks come in believing from the hallowed halls of academia, especially the Ivy League. You know, if you get initiated into one of these fraternities or the, you know, the finishing clubs and things, then you obviously, you know, this is difficult, and the effort justification bias, confirmation bias, plays tricks on your mind. Well, it must be a good thing. Look at all these people. And that's, you know, I agree with Spencer Smith that the most, arguably the most satanic words ever uttered that go right back to Genesis chapter 3, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, are the words making good men better. Who decides what constitutes good and better in this case? So, again, you know, you think of 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Exactly, yeah. The chief commander, something like that, yeah. So, I mean, this is how it works. You're not going to recruit people with the dirty, ugly truth. Has to look shiny and, you know, appealing and alluring. And this is the thing, man. Not the dirty, ugly truth. Not the whole truth, obviously. You have to have elements of it, but it has to be packaged properly in the right misleading context. So, anyway, can we talk about Medgar Evers? Maybe we'll get to that. Can we talk about, while we're at it, can we talk about the role of the FBI and Chicago police in the assassination of Fred Hampton? Can we talk about the role of FBI and local police in the assassination of Medgar Evers? This, as the story goes, you know, all of these guys, you know, whether it's Medgar Evers or Martin Luther King, you know, I don't want to jump around too much, but back to the complex story of civil rights photographer Ernest Withers. How do you suppose Ernest Withers was everywhere all the time? Was he on Edward Bernays' short list? Because remember, Vance Packard reminds us in The Hidden Persuaders, 1957, Edward Bernays has gotten his views published in the Annals of the American Academy of Political and Social Sciences, where he pointed out that, quote, newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. reminds me of Darwin Payne, the guy who wrote Initiatives in Energy, and says, Skull and Bones is a secret society. My goodness, you know what? Most people, you know, if you even whisper about it, you can expect that something bad might happen to you. And yet, here at Dresser Industries, there were four Skull and Bonesmen sitting in the same room. It was amazing. Well, how did he know? That's interesting. The same guy who was there at Dealey Plaza as a fledgling reporter, we're led to believe, wink, wink, and just happened to commandeer and abscond with, I would say, Abraham Zapruder's own personal notebook, which he recounted. You can listen to him tell that story on C-SPAN. You know, I asked him, can I have your journal? And he gave it to him, and I have it to this day. Do you have it to this day? How did you manage to accomplish that? The federal government didn't want it? That's interesting. Very interesting. How did he manage to be there? So, you know, when you have guys, folks, people, like Ernest Withers in this case, the guys everywhere. He wasn't there at the Lorraine Motel at the time, but he was there shortly thereafter. And so on and so on. Every moment, you know, whether it's MLK on a bus or the sanitation worker strike or, you know, and the signs. That's an interesting story, too, that's recently come to light. Of course, he's not around, so dead men tell no tales. Or maybe the accomplices and co-conspirators do. So, interesting stuff. I mean, seriously, if you think about it, statistically speaking, and we have young, you know, we're told, like, intrepid citizen journalists and videographers doing the same thing. There's the one kid who was BG on the scene. What's his name? Lots of coverage in the insanity, the early insanity of COVID. You know, this kid's everywhere. Traveling all over the country. How are you doing? Well, you know, I get donations and stuff. Really? And okay, so maybe we could buy into that, which is ridiculous. But let's say we buy that for a minute. How do you know where to go next? And we're told that Antifa, for example, maintains a military-styled chain of communication, a militancy in their comms that, you know, they don't break. But somehow you are invited into this. No one ever recognizes you, and you're a part of this, and you're always there, and you have the funding to do it, and you always know where to be. That's amazing. In other words, I'm not buying it. So same thing with Ernest Withers. Yeah, he was, you know, it was kind of difficult, FBI informant. I think there was, and there, what I'm noticing about some of these stories in recent years is there are a lot of cracks. The, what's his name? The young man who was recently murdered in L.A., that whole weird deal, the traffic stop, what the heck was his name? You'll notice that the stories differ from outlet to outlet, including the LAPD. They said that he, I don't know, had some kind of problem. Anyway, that's a different deal. Ernest Withers, was it 6 children? Was it 8 children? Was it 2 years, 10 years, 2 decades that, you know, he was an informant for the FBI? It's interesting how widely the stories vary from my cursory dive into the subject matter. But there, I think there's really kind of an effort to sort of deflect from the COINTELPRO aspect, and, you know, to try to freeze that somewhere in the past and say that really wasn't the issue. It was, well, you know, how do we feel about Ernest Withers? Do we care? Do we not care? Is it a problem? Not a problem? Instead of going the direction that, say, someone like Whitney Webb has gone, where suddenly you rip back the veneer and it's shocking. You know, absolutely shocking. Mainstream media reported back in, what, the 90s that J. Edgar Hoover was a closet homosexual, closet cross-dressing homosexual that was being suborned by organized crime. And so, as Whitney Webb has done, you all of a sudden, you see that, you know, all's fair in love and war, and the dirtier the better if you're trying to compromise somebody so that you can get them to play along. And if you understand how that works, then you understand what was the one? You always see these little harbingers, like in the Ernest Withers story, it was I forget what it was that he was doing. Oh, it was he was a Memphis police officer for a while until he got caught essentially bootlegging. And that was the end of his police career, if I remember correctly. So, if you understand how COINTELPRO works, and you're not laboring under the delusion that it somehow ended after it was brought to light in the 70s, then you realize that is the perfect, that's like the textbook entry point for COINTELPRO. That's when you should expect the FBI to show up. You know what? You're a police officer. This is really embarrassing. This could be really bad. Actually, obviously, we knew about this and we were involved in it the whole time with you so that we could do this, you know. And but hey, if you wouldn't mind being, you know, if you could just, it's the mafia way, you know, someday, and that day may never come, I'm going to ask you for a favor, that kind of thing, you know. And the next thing you know, so if we understand that's how that works, and we understand that the FBI was profiling guys like Malcolm X in prison, and who knows what things were arranged to frame Martin Luther King Jr., I don't know. But it seems like there's been, you know, considerable effort made to, you know, keep people in line, basically. And once they got you, they got you. I think that Martin Luther King was got, in a sense, but eventually said, you know what, I'm not doing it. I think Malcolm X was basically doing the same thing. And the difference is, you know, speaking of, again, Farrakhan, those images that circulated years ago, and this, you know, this guy who allegedly is speaking out against, you know, the secret, esoteric, whatever, is honored, and everyone's just dripping with Masonic regalia, including Farrakhan. What has the end result been of his speaking out? So, is it just sort of revelation of the method? You understand the evil and we're all sort of conscripted to it by degrees? Or does something change? And do we you know, is virtue and morality and righteousness restored? I think it's a rhetorical question. Getting back to the, speaking of questions, I said, you know, We're talking about Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. Can we talk about more things we can talk about? Back to the Prince Hall and Prince Hall Masonry discussion. A lot of notable folks. I mentioned a few in the first hour. So, you know, politically speaking, and particularly the, you know, civil rights era kind of stuff or around that time, and sound bites that we've been fed, folks, you know, who have been confirmed as Prince Hall Masons, Douglas Wilder, you know, again, Jeremiah Wright, Obama's pastor, Douglas Wilder, the first black elected governor, which, again, you know, reminds me of the Anthony Johnson story and many others. First black elected governor because officially the first black governor of a U.S. state was Pinckney Benton Stewart, PBS Pinchback, who was not elected to office, the office of governor. Pinchback became governor of Louisiana upon the removal of his predecessor from office and served as governor in the Reconstruction era. From December 1872 to January 1873. A fun fact that, you know, you won't hear in the modern mainstream media. Why is that? Because we're trying to foment tensions and divides and class warfare. It's the Marxist way, after all, dear comrades, right? Anything and everything that can be poured on that fire, you know, all accelerants are on the table, as bad guys say. All options are on the table. So, you know, for that matter, Bobby Kennedy's speech on the eve of JFK's MLK's assassination that allowed Indianapolis to sleep peacefully. Even Wikipedia says the whole country erupted. And Indianapolis slept peacefully. And that's what we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to have peace. We're supposed to view each other in otherizing terms and be at each other's necks while the puppet masters look on gleefully. Who themselves are puppets, by the way. So let's not forget that either. Pawns in their game. Former D.C. Mayor Marion Barry, Prince Hall Mason, Anthony A. Williams, former D.C. Mayor, Prince Hall Mason, Tom Bradley, Kappa Alpha Psi, LAPD, second black mayor of major U.S. city, first black mayor, first black L.A. mayor, longest serving L.A. mayor during the 1992 L.A. race riots, by the way. Former New York Governor David Paterson, Prince Hall Mason. Andrew Young, another controversial figure. Are we concerned about Medgar Evers or Ernest Withers? Well, Andrew Young says it's no big deal. So I guess we're not concerned. Southern Christian Leadership Conference, former Atlanta mayor, former U.S. Representative, Georgia U.N. Ambassador Andrew Young. Boy, he's done well for himself. John F. Street, former Philadelphia mayor, Prince Hall Mason. Carl Stokes, former Cleveland mayor, first black mayor of large U.S. city. Adam Clayton Powell Jr., first black U.S. representative, New York State. Long list of Prince Hall Masons. I'll continue the list when we come back. Stick around. Yeah.
one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Biden takes classified documents seriously. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at mystore.com to save money on American-made products from American companies. President Biden takes classified documents so seriously that he had at least one in his garage. Just for a minute, let's forget that a former vice president shouldn't have classified materials. Let's ignore the hypocrisy of Biden's statements regarding Trump having classified materials at Mar-a-Lago, where there are Secret Service. What I want to know is, why were attorneys clearing out an office at the UPenn think tank? Lawyers cost hundreds of dollars an hour. Two guys and a truck would have been infinitely cheaper. Were the lawyers there because they expected to find something like this? Maybe the attorneys were there just so that there would be attorney-client privilege in place. The presence of lawyers doing a job that a couple of teenagers could do is intriguing, to say the least. Now that the story is out, I have many questions, but the White House press secretary has refused to answer a single one put to her. Hopefully, the new special counsel will have better luck. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
In Jackson, Mississippi, in 1963, there lived a man who was brave. He fought for freedom all of his life. But they laid Medgar Evers in his grave. They laid Medgar Evers in his grave. They laid Medgar Evers in his grave. He fought for freedom all of his life, but they laid Medgar Evers in his grave.
Welcome back.
He spoke words of truth.
There is a crossover here, and like I said earlier, and tried to make the point yesterday, if you don't understand the so-called religious aspect, you know, the spiritual battle that's being fought in simple terms, then you can't understand what's going on. That's why I've been saying what I've been saying lately. And so a couple of things along those lines, you know, speaking of sort of results, like what happens, you know, we've played Bob Dylan's Only a Pawn in Their Game a couple of times. Let's hear Bob Dylan talk about it, you know, that infamous Ed Bradley interview. Bob Dylan in his own words. Go ahead, please.
I know that, and I accept, you don't see yourself as the voice of that generation. But some of your songs did stop people cold. You know, and they saw them as anthems, and they saw them as protest songs. It had that meaning for them. It was important in their lives. It sparked a movement. I mean, you may not have seen it that way, but that's the way it was for them. How do you reconcile those two things?
Well, my stuff were songs, you know, they weren't sermons. They came out of the folk music realm. I wrote a song about the death of Medgar Evers. And the first line is, a bullet from the back of the bush took Medgar Evers' blood. You know, a finger fired the trigger to his name. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's all in the alliteration of the lines. A bullet from the back of the bush took Medgar Evers' blood. It's true, it's written about somebody. And it's true, it's written about a real thing. But it's also done with a rhythm and a certain type of poetic nuance that I don't know how I derived that. I got all that into a particular song like that.
Well, actually, that's not entirely true, because by many accounts, Bob Dylan was a hack until something transformative happened. And there were folks that knew him that said, hey, 6 months ago, he was a hack no one would listen to. But then something happened. And speaking of that Ed Bradley interview, that 60 Minutes interview back in 2004, I think it was. This is what Bob Dylan said in his own words. Go ahead, please.
Why do you still do it? Why are you still out here?
Well, it goes back to the destiny thing. I mean, I made a bargain with it, you know, a long time ago, and I'm holding up my end.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander.
On this earth?
On this earth and then in a world we can't see.
There you go. I would say that's about enough said. So, poetic nuance. What does that do? Does it sort of anesthetize us to the troubling reality of the situation where it becomes romanticized? We're not as concerned as we should or otherwise might be. It's something to think about. So, you know, back to the Prince Hall Masonry discussion. And again, you know, the operative concept here is, you know, drawing from C. Wright Mills' Power Elite, the concept, as Mills wrote, Harvard or Yale or Princeton is not enough. The point is not Harvard, but which Harvard. So it's in this case, in this context, it's not Prince Hall, but how far along has one gone and demonstrated oneself loyal to the cause? Are you a member of other, you know, fraternal orders? Were you, you know, did you belong to a fraternity in college, for example? Were you Kappa Alpha Psi or you know, Phi Beta Sigma, Alpha Pi Alpha, et cetera, et cetera. Do you demonstrate your allegiance and so on? That's kind of the, you know, but it's smoke, and where there's smoke, often there's fire. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The answer is blowing in the wind. Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout.